Amen. Thank you, Matt and Jackie. All right, Luke chapter 22. If you'll turn in your Bibles, your phone, whatever you use, turn there with us. And I've entitled this Leading Through Dark Times because Jesus, as we're going to see, is just the greatest leader of all time. The greatest leader of all time. And I know that's not news to you, but I'm going to point out some things this morning that if it's not good news, if it's not news to you, it's at least good news, if not the greatest news you could ever have, you could ever get. And that's one of the things. And the last point will be the greatest. The last point in this sermon will be the greatest of all three points. All right, Luke chapter 22. Oh, and by the way, if you're a UT fan, I'm just joking. Two of my favorite people on the planet and two men that have mentored me graduated from UT. Okay? So I'm just playing. All right. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 31. Listen to what Jesus tells his disciples. The Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, is done. Listen to what he tells his disciples. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, and I prayed that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out without a money belt and without a bag and without sandals, you did not lack for anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. And he said to them, but now, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag. And whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. You know, as a young man growing up in Arlington, I always wanted to stay out later and later. And I always wanted to stay out past midnight. That was the latest I ever got to stay out was midnight growing up in my home. But I always wanted to stay out past midnight. And I remember my dad used to say, son, there's nothing good that happens after midnight. You've probably heard that before, right? I think that's a thing parents kind of pass along to each other, right? But my dad used to say that to me, and so I had to wait till I got in college to stay out past 12 o'clock. And I got in college, and I started staying out past 12 o'clock, and you know what? I quickly discovered he was right. Something about it, rarely was I ever part of anything good that happened in the dark hours after midnight. And as the Last Supper comes to an end, this was a dark night. It was a dark night, like the night when all the lights went out on me Saturday night. It was a deep, dark night that was approaching for Jesus and his disciples. Satan was on the prowl, and he was looking to lure Jesus and his disciples into this trap that he had prepared for them. And men with evil lurking in their hearts were hiding and secretly planning this ambush. They were secretly planning for Jesus' arrest. And his arrest would also then trigger the persecution of his followers, because with the majority of Israel not following him anymore, and with the majority of Israel turning against him, they would also turn against those who followed him. Point number one. Christ followers should not expect any more love and respect from this world than Jesus himself received. Christ followers should not expect any more love and respect from this world than Jesus himself received. In fact, Jesus reminded his followers in John chapter 15, verse 19, there in your notes, if you were of the world would love you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and because I've chosen you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But if they kept my word, they will keep your words as well. And we live in a culture that's rapidly moving away from the word of God. And as our culture continues to move away from God's word, it will automatically move away from God's ways. Because without the truth of God's word, it's every man for himself. And the pride and greed of man will rule the day. See it on the news every night. In fact, even in the upper room that night, Satan was using the pride and the greed that was rising up in the disciples' hearts to divide and conquer. And Satan always uses the pride of man, and he always uses the greed of man to divide and destroy, whether it's in the home, the community, or even in the church. And later that night, because of pride and greed, a series of illegal trials would take place to destroy the Savior of the world, to destroy God's Savior that he sent to earth to save mankind. And it's amazing that only 24 hours before his death, this is amazing to me, only 24 hours before his death, Jesus is still preparing his disciples for what they would face. Now that's the brand of a true leader, amen? That's the brand of a true leader. Jesus knew that this would be not only his last night, but also the darkest night of his life, yet he continues to focus on the needs of his followers and not his own. Point number two. Number one, Jesus' followers should not expect any more love or respect from the world than Jesus himself received. And point number two, true leaders stay focused on leading regardless of the pressure they face from the enemy, and nothing can be harder. If you've been there, if you've ever been in a real position of leadership where you had to lead other people, and you come into a point in your life where you're feeling pressure like you haven't felt before in your lifetime, you know what I'm talking about. It's difficult to get through it yourself, let alone continue to lead other people. But true leaders stay focused on leading regardless of the pressure they face from the enemy. You see, Jesus proved his integrity and his strength as a leader by standing for truth even when everyone else turned against him. And here's the thing. You can be that leader if you're following the greatest leader of all time. You can do the same if and only if you're following the greatest leader of all time, Jesus Christ. You can do the same whether it's in your home or at school or at work. Regardless of the circumstances, you too can be a strong leader when you're following your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, our world is desperately longing for humble, servant-hearted leaders. Is that a fair statement? Our world is desperately looking for humble, servant-hearted leadership. And strong, Christ-like leaders don't lead, don't miss this, strong, Christ-like leaders don't lead by denying the harshness of the reality that they are facing, but they lead by focusing on the power of the person they are following. Strong Christ-like leaders don't lead by denying the harshness of the reality they're facing. They face it, but they continue to lead those who follow them by focusing on the power of the person they're following, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "When I sent you out without a money belt and a bag and sandals, you didn't lack anything, did you?" And they said, "No, nothing." And then he says to them, but now, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. You see, Jesus knew unparalleled darkness was coming for him and his disciples. And so he faced the reality of the situation, and he prepared his disciples to do the same. Listen to what he said to them in John chapter 15, verse 5 through 8. Now, if you're around here much, you know this already, but listen, I'm going to ask you to listen a little closer and a little more differently this time. You know this because it's one of my life passages. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, or I love the New American Standard, abides in me, because that's deeper than remains. Abides means to make a home with me, have an intimate fellowship with me, okay? I am the vine, Jesus says, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, remains in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now the disciples were fixing to be, they don't know it yet, but they're fixing to be apart from him till after the resurrection, and they're fixing to find out like never before in their lives what it means to be apart from Jesus, because they're going to be able to do nothing. But if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You see, strong Christ-like leaders abide in Christ, and they allow his word to abide or make its home in them. And so, listen, when others are focused on their circumstances, Christ-like leaders stay focused on the Lord. When others are listening to the crowd, strong Christ-like leaders are listening to Christ. And the Bible says in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, or whose mind remains focused on you, because you trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And when the storms of life hit, and they will hit, if you're my age, you've already got the t-shirt. When the storms of life hit, and they will hit, strong Christ-like leaders anchor to the Lord their God, the everlasting rock. And they refuse, listen to me closely, they refuse to anchor to the words of public opinion, and they refuse to anchor to the ways of this world. Instead, their hearts and their minds are anchored to the truth, and because of that, their hearts and minds are stabilized by God's truth. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Never forget thanksgiving when you're praying. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. If you're having problems with your spouse, you need to be praying for your spouse. And you need to be thanking God. You need to be making a list of the things that you're thankful for of your spouse, or for your spouse. It will change your marriage. If you're having a problem with another person, if you're having a problem at work, make a list of all the things that God has blessed you with, all the things that God's done, and all the things you need to be thankful for, and it'll change your life. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human comprehension, will guard your hearts, and it will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, 5 through 9, commit your way to the Lord. Surrender all. I surrender all. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and he will bring forth your judgment as the noonday sun, the Bible says. And then the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out his wicked schemes. Cease from your anger and forsake your wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. It only leads to more evil. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, I put that in bold black because we just love to wait, right? But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Now let me ask you a question this morning, GBF. Do you remember what we did when we found out we weren't going to be able to buy the land behind us and build a new sanctuary? We stayed focused. We stayed focused on committing our way to the Lord, and we decided that we would continue to trust in the Lord who had brought us thus far. Now, those of you who have been here 12 years, you have something that others don't have. You've waited before. You've trusted before. You've been there when other people were betting that GBF wouldn't last a year. You've been there when we had no money, no way of doing what we felt like God was leading us to do, and you've been there and you had to sit and watch God provide in miraculous ways that blew our minds. So those of you who have been here for 12 years, you've got all that. You and I have journeyed through all that together, and that's a game changer. And so after that time, for those of us who have been on this journey together all this time, we were like, okay, it's time to wait on the Lord and keep seeking the Lord and stay committed to the Lord. So we called for a quiet time. You remember that? I sent an email out to the whole church. We called for a quiet time where we would rest in the Lord and we would wait patiently for Him. And we would seek the Lord through prayer while abiding in His Word at the same time. Those two are always linked together. And while we waited, we would continue to thank Him. We would continue to thank Him for all He's done and all He will continue to do through His church. And finally, we refused to fret over or be angry towards those who opposed us. Now, waiting for the Lord to show us implies that while we're waiting, we're also watching for His activity, because He's always at work. We just sang it earlier. We may not be able to see it, and we may not be able to feel it, but He's always at work. And so we looked and we listened. We prayed and we watched. We waited and we watched. And we listened. And we listened to some of you. And we went and looked at land and investigated land that you told us about. Looked at some of the properties you told us about. In fact, that's exactly how we discovered this Highway 6 property, from a tip from one of you that we've been doing the feasibility study on. And so when the owners agreed to sell us this property on Highway 6, we started this feasibility study that included the public works supervisor, two city administrators, the old one and the new one. Andy, wave at everybody. Our new city administrator, you guys get to know him and his wife, they're awesome. The mayor, two civil engineers, an architect, an excavation expert, the county commissioner, and a real estate lawyer. And guess what? After all this time, after all this waiting, and after all this time seeking God, we inherited the land. Now, the word inherit means to receive one's portion or to come into possession of. And the cool thing about inheriting something is that you don't have to pay for it. You just come into possession of what someone else has already provided for you. And this last Thursday, we inherited the land on Highway 6 that we've been doing a feasibility study on. Now, technically, amen, 20 acres on Highway 6. Technically speaking, GBF purchased the 20 acres on Highway 6. If you were to go to the title company and say, did they write a check, they would say yes. But that check didn't come from GBF. That check was miraculously provided by God. Hundreds of thousands of dollars provided by God. So GBF inherited, came into possession of the land that God gave to His people who trusted in Him and continued to patiently wait on Him. And so we inherited the land. And if you're a guest, the reason for all this is because we don't have any room left. We've built everything we own. Renovated everything we own. and we're running 40 to 50 kids, and we just don't have room for it. We're using other shops even on Sunday. And so we inherited the land because we decided to, and this is in your notes, commit our way to the Lord, trust also in Him, rest in Him. Now here's a hint. If you're freaking out, you can't be focused on God and trusting God at the same time. Amen? So the Lord commands us in Psalm 37 to rest in Him and to wait patiently for Him. I don't know, what has it been, 2 years, year and a half, 2 years? I haven't been counting. I've just been waiting and watching and seeking the Lord along with you. The other command in Psalm 37 is do not fret. The command that follows that is cease from your anger. And by the way, you can read all about ceasing from your anger and ceasing from wrath in Romans 12, 14 through 21. Read all about that. And then number 7, we decided to anchor to the Lord, the everlasting rock, and seek Him while patiently waiting for Him to provide. And this leads us to two more of my life passages of Scripture. One is Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the premise. That's the condition. Seek first His kingdom, not your own plans, not your own wish, not your own deal. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and here's the promise, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what is all these things? In that context, in Matthew chapter 6, it's the things you and I worry about. And all these things will be added to you, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that He may strongly support those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Those whose hearts are completely His, the Bible says. Have you ever wondered why God wants you to surrender all? Have you ever wondered why He wants you to surrender everything and everything you own, everything you think, everything you say, everything you do to Him? Because He is looking throughout the earth for someone that will surrender all. Someone that will say, God, my heart is completely Yours, because He is wanting to strongly support that person. Now look back at verses 31 through 34. We're about to get to point 3, and it's the greatest of all the points. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I, Jesus Christ, have prayed for you and your faith, that your faith may not fail. And you, once you've turned again, once you've repented, I want you to go and I want you to strengthen your brothers. But Peter said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go to both prison and death. Peter doesn't realize he's not going to be with him, right? And Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied me 3 times. Until, Peter, you've denied to other people 3 different times that you do not know me. Now, if you're a strong Christian leader, if you're a strong Christ-like leader, this is important to you, because the time will come when Satan will demand permission to sift you like wheat. And when they sifted wheat back in the day, they would shake up the wheat as violently as they could, and then they would throw it in the air, and the wind would then separate the useful grain from the worthless chaff, and the chaff would fall to the ground. The grains of wheat would fall to the ground, the chaff would blow away. And the pronoun translated you here in verse 31 is plural, so Satan is asking for permission to persecute each of the disciples in such a violent way that it would shake their faith to the point that it would blow away like chaff in the wind. And if God is using you If God is using you, then you too will come under this same kind of attack at some point. And Satan will inflict as much pain as he possibly can on you to try and destroy your faith, to try to blow away your faith. And when we started looking at the land, people were telling us there's no way we could get this piece of property. You might as well forget it, people said. They said it was too valuable. They said it could be used for way too many other things. They said it was impossible. They said it would never work, on and on and on. But we kept praying and seeking God through His Word and waiting on the Lord, and we just sensed that God wanted us to keep praying about this one piece of land, and we would drive up there in our cars and sit on that cemetery road and just sit there and pray, some of us would. And we were praying, God, if it's your will, bless it. If it's not, block it. That's all we care about. That's all we want. We're not hooked on this piece of land. You can provide land anywhere. We just want to make sure that we're doing your will. And so we kept praying. We kept seeking God through His Word. And we kept waiting. And God not only provided the land, but He provided it as His children's inheritance, free of charge. But I want you to know something very important this morning. When you're under attack from Satan, notice that he must ask permission from God, and then he can only operate within the parameter of God's will. We see that all through the book of Job, right? We see it in Zechariah. We see it in many other New Testament passages. He must ask permission, and then he can only operate within the parameter of God's will if you're a child of God. And so all the disciples, listen to this, don't miss this. You don't want to miss this. All the disciples would fail, and they would all forsake Jesus at some point. At some point during this dark night, fear would take over, and they would all flee. However, their fear would not be permanent. And Jesus promised to intercede on their behalf so that their faith would not fail. Verse 32. They would be restored, and Peter would go on to strengthen his brothers and prove to be a great leader despite his many failures. Point number three. Number one, as a follower of Christ, you should not expect any more love and respect from this world. I mean, if you're speaking the truth and you're standing for truth in love, by the way, not arrogantly, but in love, don't expect any more love and respect than your master had, than he got from the world. Number two, true leaders stay focused on leading regardless of the pressure they face from the enemy. They continue to walk with God. They continue to listen to God, not the crowd, not the ways of the world. And number three, this is amazing. If this isn't great news, there is none. The saving faith that Peter and the other disciples had was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. Therefore, no amount of persecution by Satan could destroy it. Satan, on his best day, could not destroy their faith. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, Jesus Christ is able also to save forever. Circle those two words in your notes. Therefore, Jesus Christ is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always, always lives to make intercession for those who believe in Him. He always lives to make intercession for those who put their faith in Him. Now let me tell you something. If you haven't already figured this out, you will fail. You will fall. You may fail in ways you thought you would never fail. And you will succumb to fear. But if you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, then God the Son, Jesus Christ, lives to make intercession for you. Therefore, you will, like Peter, be restored. And Peter would go on to tell the world about how Christ loved him. He would go on to tell the world about how God protected him and how Jesus restored him after all of his failures. And he would be used by God to forever remind us how God strengthens us and stabilizes us in our trials. And the bottom line is this: Peter's recovery reminds each of us. Listen to me very, very closely. Peter's recovery reminds each of us that our faith is a gift of God's grace that is maintained by His grace, not by the self-effort of the believer. And Satan's best efforts cannot take away God's gift of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if anything deserves an amen, it's that. Amen? Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for this truth. What a great story about how Jesus rescues us, about how He loves us, how He prepares us, how He restores us, how He redeems us. And it was all done in the darkest night he would ever face. That's just amazing. That's truly amazing. How he continued to focus on everyone but himself. And so, Father, we thank you and praise you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you may be watching online, or you may be here this morning, and you may be saying, you know what, Chris, I want to believe God's truth. I want to believe in Jesus. And I understand that my sin separates me from God. And I understand that I need to be saved. I need to be rescued. I need to be redeemed. Friend, God Himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place and become the perfect sacrifice and to become the entire payment for your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to work your way to heaven or earn your way to heaven, and maybe today you'd like to rest. Maybe today you would just like to rest and accept God's free gift of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And if so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this. And again, these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And today I want to trust in you. I want to trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in deep and desperate need for your grace and your mercy. So today I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking for your grace, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I'm asking for your power to turn from my sins, to repent and submit to your purpose and your plan for my life. And I ask you today to forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. I'm ready for your inheritance that only you can provide. I'm ready for you to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your word to abide in me, to make its home in me, so that we can have an intimate relationship with one another. And I want to thank you enough this morning for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, you may have just said that prayer, and if you did, or a prayer like that, and meant it in your heart, then the Bible says you are a child of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ comes into your life, becomes the Lord of your life, and the Savior of your life. And so Matt's going to lead us in a closing song, and I'm going to be here at the front singing and worshiping right along with you. And if you've made that decision, I'm going to invite you to share that with me. I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come up and share it with me. I'd love to share it with you, pray with you. But I'm going to encourage you to do one thing. At least share it with someone. The Bible says you know in your heart you've been saved because you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. So if you don't share it with me, share it with someone. And those of you that are already there, you be praying for anyone that may have decided this morning to follow Jesus Christ. And pray for those children that are at children's camp right now as we worship the Lord here. Father, we thank you for this precious time, and we pray for this time that we have as we worship you and close out this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.